Scriptural lessons from His Word. This is the fourth sermon in this series. All the sermons that we have meditated upon thus far as part of the Jordan crossing that we have learnt from the life of Abraham and Lot, as well as Jacob and Esau, which we were reminded again today during the worship exhortation. And also we were able to see how Moses was not allowed to cross the Jordan River. Today we are going to continue another scriptural portion, this time from the theme verse that is right there on the top of the word Jordan on this screen. Shall we all read that together, please? Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. Joshua 1:2. A lot of times when we think of Jordan, Jordan River, this is the only story we know. So far, the Abraham Lot story, Jacob, Esau, and Moses, we typically don't study upon. But when we think of Jordan crossing, it's Joshua's story as such that we tend to relate to. And interestingly, in the book of Joshua chapter 1, the Lord God himself speaks to Joshua. And most of the time, Joshua is referred to as Joshua, the son of Nun, or son of Nun. Many times it keeps repeating. It says, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of this scriptural portion, that God may give us the heart of understanding. I put my hope in your word, that is what we sang. I'm sure of this. Jesus, you are my firm foundation. I'm sure of this. The surety or the assurance is essential in everybody's life. The surety and the assurance of what is happening in our lives, what is God doing in my life, is essential for every one of us. For today's portion, as I was mentioning to you from Joshua, primarily, we are going to look at two chapters, Joshua 1 and 2. We might have multiple sessions on the book of Joshua itself, the Jordan River, because we can't cover everything in one. So the first two chapters is our focus today. And then we see that Joshua was commissioned by God by saying, you are the next in the leadership in order to be able to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And for that, God himself encourages Joshua in verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Why? Because of the specific project that he has in front of him. The project that was in front of him was, in verse 2, therefore, now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people to the land. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Many times we quote certain verses and we try to apply it to our daily life. But the context of this particular verses that we are going to read going forward from verse 7 are related to the specific Jordan crossing, my dear. Verse 7, now it says in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It is the word of God that was essential for Joshua to prepare himself in order to be able to take these people on a big project to enter into the land of the promised land or land of Canaan. It says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. All that is written in it. Be careful to do what all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Most of the time, we focus on the second part. Success, prosperous. But what is it? The main focus, this is a conditional promise. The book of the law, the word of God will be in your mouth. Be careful to do it. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a wonderful way in which he was commissioned in order to be able to take these people into the land, the promised land. Then Joshua, verse 10, commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command to the people. So he had people delegated. He knew how to be able to be a leader. He knew how to delegate responsibility. So when God spoke to him, he spoke to the people. He did not speak to all the people, but he chose some people through whom he passed on the information. Verse 10, he commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare. Prepare. Notice the word prepare. Prepare the provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan. Prepare yourself to cross this Jordan. It requires preparation. It is not just out of the blue getting away. It is not about being able to say, come, let's go, but preparing yourself. God has commissioned Joshua, and Joshua has commanded the people in verse 11 to be able to tell them, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. And we are going to skip a few verses after that. And then verse 16, it says, they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. These people understood what all situations that they went through the wilderness, the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But now they said, we will obey you. We want to follow you. May God be with you. How they were telling their leader, may God be with you so that you may lead us. And verse 18, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. It is not only God himself who told Joshua to be strong and courageous, but the people who were leading, whom he was leading, also told Joshua, only be strong and courageous. What a wonderful way in which Joshua well prepared in order to be able to move on. But he had a strategy. He wanted to make sure. He wanted to have the surety, just like his previous leader, Moses, did. In the book of Numbers, it talks about 12 spies, one from each tribe, that was sent into the promised land to spy the land, to see what it is. And you know the story. If you don't know, let me just give a briefing of it. 10 of them come back and say, oh, this is terrible land. We have giants there. There is no way in which we can go and occupy the land. And they were discouraging the people. But there were only 2 people, starting with Caleb. And later Joshua also joined him. They were able to say, this land God has surely given us. We will go. So Joshua had already spied the land, but he did not cross the Jordan. He went an alternate way. But this time God himself said, cross this Jordan. Cross this Jordan and occupy the promised land. God's ways are different in terms of being able to see. So he followed the same way Moses did. And then this time he did not send 12 spies. Instead he sent 2 spies. And that is what is recorded in Joshua chapter 2. And talking about those 2 men, let us read today's scriptural portion taken from Joshua chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, all together, please. Shall we all read this together? Joshua 2, 23 to 24, all together as it is projected. Then the 2 men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and they related to him all that has happened to them. They said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. This was the news that the 2 spies that were sent to spy the land came back and said in verse 24, surely, some translations uses the word truly. That assurance, the surety that they needed to have was done because it was a strategy. It was a strategy from Joshua to be able to make sure how it is to spy the land, to be able to survey the land. This is very usual that we see. Moses also did that, to survey the land. He was not only trusting in the Lord, but also to be able to have a survey. Even Nehemiah, for that matter, In the night, he went and surveyed the land of Jerusalem in order to see how things are going. And then he came back and said, this is the plan of action. Surveying or to find out what it is to be able to be much more strengthened is what Joshua was doing. Let us see from the genealogy of Joshua from Abraham. Because God promised the promised land of Canaan to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, also called Israel. And in that particular genealogy, we have the 12 tribes, and the extra two tribes, because Levi was not given a specific land, God himself was their position. Joseph's tribe was divided into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh. And Ephraim had children, and there are some more, I didn't list them down. And then came Nun and Joshua. So Joshua is in the lineage of Ephraim. Moses was the lineage of Levi. Caleb from the lineage of Judah. Different tribes, but they were together and being able to move forward to occupy the promised land. Again, just for a reference point, I hope you will not forget this. Sea of Galilee on the top, Dead Sea on the bottom, and then the Jordan River that connects both of them. The water is descending from the Sea of Galilee into Dead Sea. That is why the word Jordan means descender or descending, coming down, falling down. And that is what this particular Jordan River talks about. Another way of looking at it from the Jordan River, these are all the places you know may not need to focus upon. But there is one place called Shittim on the east of the Jordan River, and there is another city called Jericho on the west of Jordan River. See here, it's so close to the banks of the river, and Shittim is also not very close, but it is there. Shittim and Jericho. Let's look at our Bibles. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of the harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. Just wanted to give you a picture. Shittim, or the acacia grove, acacia trees that are there primarily. That is why it is called the word Shittim. And from there, they go to Jericho. And that is what Joshua told. They were all in the camp at Shittim. And then from there, they had to, two men were sent from there to the city of Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city, completely covered with walls. Last year, the children, VBS children, learned the story of how the Jericho walls fell down. We have the wall that is kept there. It's still there, remains there. But in understanding of that, they built this wall in between to remind themselves that this Jericho wall was a fortified city just across the banks of the River Jordan. The word Joshua, it means Yahoshua or Yahovah Shua. Yahovah Shua means Jehovah saves. Please note down in your sermon notes, the word Joshua means Jehovah saves, or saved by Jehovah. To be more precise, not just by God, but to be more precise, Yeshua. Yeshua saves. That is how Jehovah saves becomes Yeshua. Jehovah saves becomes Yeshua or Joshua. So the first thing that we want to note down as part of this sermon, I have titled it as Salvation. Because the word Joshua itself means Jehovah saves. This word save, salvation, is very, very commonly used among the Christian world. Are you saved? Salvation. People sometimes wonder what it means. Here, let us look at it as to what Joshua means is Jehovah saves. As part of the sermon titled Salvation, the spies were sent from Shittim to Jericho. The way in which they have traveled through that is by crossing the Jordan River, not through the Dead Sea, but only through Jordan River. That is how it is explained. Because on return also, they have crossed over, it says in verse 23, they crossed over and came to Joshua. So most likely, they have crossed over Jordan in order to be able to go from Shittim to Jericho. First thing you want to note down in your sermon notes, the spies sent as messengers by Jehovah saves. Spies sent as messengers by Jehovah saves. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. Towards the end, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25. Towards the end, I'm reading it, listen to this carefully. For she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. These spies were also called messengers. The spies were sent as messengers. Joshua 6:25 says that they were sent as messengers by Joshua to spy out the land. Yes, they were sent on a mission, go view the land, but they were messengers. Notice this very carefully. The spies sent as messengers by Jehovah saves. Now what do? They come onto the other side of the Jordan River in Jericho. And in Jericho, suddenly we notice that these two were in a house of a harlot whose name was Rahab. She was a harlot. Her profession was a harlotry. And most of the time, at the edge or the border of the walls, those kind of people in that profession exist. But let me tell you, there are some spiritual lessons that you and I need to understand about the harlotry or whoring. Maybe her profession was a whoring or a harlotry kind of a profession, or as a prostitute. But the Bible says something in Exodus chapter 34. Some of us, any of us, if you have your Bibles, keep your bookmark on Joshua 2 and go to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, verses 15 and 16. Please read. They would play the harlot. He's talking about this land of Canaan, which is occupied by the Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and Girgashites, and all those people. Otherwise, what does it say? You might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they would play the harlot. Come on. Yes, brother. Continue, please. Harlot with their gods. Anything that we are not doing to the Jehovah God, if we are focusing our attention on anything or anybody other than the Jehovah God, is equal to harlotry. And God himself warned them, saying that if you go after such kind of things, you are committing harlotry. In other words, let us look at another portion from Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 27. Psalm 73, verse 27. Those who are unfaithful to you. If you have any other translation, it uses the word. What does it use? Anyone? 73.20. Sorry? Yeah, who desert you for harlotry. So this word harlotry, sometimes we refer to Rahab saying that, oh man, she's a harlot. But anyone who is not after the only true God are equal to committing harlotry with other gods. So in a way, Rahab is a representation or a symbolism of a sinner. Rahab is a representation of a sinner. Whether you call that sinner as a harlot, or whether you call the sinner as a deceiver, or whether you call that person or of anything else, she is a representation of a sinner. Period. There was a sinner in Jericho. And there were spies who were sent as messengers from Jehovah saves to go into the house of a sinner. Jericho is a representation of the world. The world is full of sinners. Each of us are born in sin. There is no way in which we can say that, oh, Rahab is a harlot, I am not, I am far better than others. No. We are no better than Rahab. Just like we have meditated during the worship time, we are no better than Jacob, a deceiver. Her profession is a representation of a sinful nature, period. And these spies were sent as messengers. Anyone who is departing from the Lord, those who are not going towards God but departing away from the Lord and going after the things of this world, including the Israelites themselves, God was warning them, do not fall into harlotry or unfaithfulness. Some of the translations uses the word unfaithfulness in Psalm chapter 73 and verse 27. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 2. This story is talked about. We will try to jump a few verses in the interest of time. The king of Jericho comes to know that these spies came into the house of Rahab. And then they ask her to bring out the men in verse 3. And then in verse 4 it says, the woman had taken the two men and hidden them and said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. Again, a lot of people try to get into controversy and being able to say, oh, Rahab sinned. Rahab lied. Of course she lied. I'm not saying that she did not lie. But as I was reading through the scriptures, I was trying to understand at what point of time, maybe that was a common thing in the land of Jericho to keep lying, especially in the profession that she's in. Not to be able to reveal the secret about some men who enter into the harlot's house. She's used to telling lies. Because her nature was sinful, that she was saying lies. That doesn't mean that the Bible encourages people to lie. Never ever consider that lie is okay in certain times. But as I was reading through this, I noticed that it came about dark, she was telling in verse 5, that it was time to shut the gate at dark, that the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. And then we notice, but she had brought them up off the roof and hidden them in the stalks of the flax on the rooftop. This rooftop, these men were hiding. And what happened? The king of Jericho, who sent the men, they went and pursued, verse 7, on the road to Jordan. Because they know that was a place when people cross over the Jordan. So they went to that place to catch hold of these two spies who were sent as messengers to Jericho. They wanted to persecute these messengers who came to be able to be in the house of the harlot. But notice this carefully, verse 8. Now before they lay down, before they were on the top of the roof, lying down, covered themselves with flax, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. So I don't know the sequence of events that must have happened. Maybe she did the part of talking to them and releasing them out and then spoke to king of Jericho people. But whatever be the case, what we notice here is before they lay down, there was a conversation that has happened. Most likely this conversation may have happened before the king of Jericho, the men of Jericho had come. Verse 9, notice this carefully. She said to the men, Rahab, a woman who was a representation of a sinner, she said to the men, notice this very carefully, my dear. If you have your Bibles, open it and see it. It is very important to look into God's word to understand and focus our attention on what we are learning today. Verse 9, I know, notice the word, I know that the Lord, or in other words, Yehovah, the Lord is in caps, capital letters. It is not Lord as a master or Lord so-and-so, Lord so. No, they are talking about Jehovah. A woman who is a Canaanite woman, maybe she never met an Israelite because Israelites were stuck in the land of Egypt for 400 years of bondage. And somehow she got to know, I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away or faint-hearted before you. For we have heard. Notice the word, verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea before you. How you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard that God, Lord God Jehovah, delivered you or redeemed you from the land of Egypt of bondage. We heard about the salvation of God. Notice this. sinner hears salvation of Jehovah God. In other words, Rahab was telling, I have heard about these things. She didn't see it. She didn't experience it herself. But she heard it. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. The Bible says, how can the people hear until someone is sent? Unless someone is sent, they were not able to hear. So somehow the word came to them, came to her. I have heard. And in verse 11, when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. What a wonderful statement this is. The sinner who was in this profession of prostitution, a sinner who was a liar, when she heard the salvation of Jehovah God. Jehovah Elohim, she says that in verse 11. For the Jehovah Elohim, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. In other words, she was firmly telling about the salvation of God when he brought them out of the land of Egypt, how they came out on the Red Sea, dried up the water of the Red Sea, talking about the salvation of God, bringing them out of the land of Egypt. I'm sure she must have heard much more. I don't know. It's not recorded here. How the 10 plagues came. How the last plague of the firstborn son was killed in the land of Egypt. How they put the mark of the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. Probably she must have heard about all of that. And how the angel of death was passing through. How that particular houses where they had that blood on the doorposts, they were saved from their child being killed. Probably she might have heard of all of that. But she was able to tell, he is God. The Lord, Jehovah, is God. He is the one who has saved you from the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage. And then she says, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also deal kindly with my father's household and give me a sure sign. If you have English Standard Version, it uses the word sure sign, a pledge of truth. In different translations it uses, but I like the way in which the English Standard Version translated it as a sure sign. Surety, we are talking about surety. Everyone wants to have assurance of the things that are happening in their life. Sure sign, can you give me a sure sign? And also she was concerned about her family. She said about my father's household, spare my father and my brother and my sisters, verse 13, all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall be about the Lord gives us a land, but we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Verse 15, then she let them down a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She was right across. That was a typical place. And now, she tells, go ahead. Verse 17, the men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless we come into the land. Verse 18, notice this carefully. You tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. What did they say? The scarlet cord to be tied as a sure sign of hope. Yes, I understand that you believe in this God. You are saying that he is the God above in heaven and on earth. How this God Jehovah has saved you. And now there needed to be an external expression of an internal experience. How has it been shown? How should it be shown? Through a scarlet cord. A scarlet cord representing the fact that I believe in the Jehovah God who saves. Just like in the land of Egypt, they put this blood on the doorposts, and how the angel of death spared those houses. Similar story is happening where the scarlet cord was put forth. It is representing the blood, or in other words, similar to the Old Testament story before they crossed the Red Sea. It is a representation of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed for the cross, on the cross of Calvary, for the sake of our sins. To be able to show forth as a scarlet cord, and that was hanging from the window externally, not internally. We love to put cross, we love to put everything internally. Outside, I don't know what people will say. What were these people told to do? Rahab was told to tie it on the window from where these people were sent out. To be able to say, yes, I believe in the Jehovah God. I believe one day that Jehovah is going to come. When that Jehovah saves is going to come, he is going to look at, when he's going to judge the land, he's going to look at the scarlet cord. And that is the hope I have, that I'll be saved for eternity. What a wonderful representation that is. Scarlet cord. Tie it. Tie it. Show forth externally. If you are born again, if you are saved through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, show it forth externally. That is why we keep encouraging you to witness in water baptism, to be able to tell it externally, an external expression of an internal experience that has happened. You might say, oh, I believe in it. I told you two people, nah, that is enough. No! Tell it out publicly, a public profession, public confession that Jesus Christ, or in other words, the God Jehovah, is the one who saves. And not only what did they say? You put the scarlet cord as an external expression, but also he says in verse 18, notice this very carefully, Joshua 2:18. Not only do you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, but also notice this, gather to yourself into the house your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Wow. What was told? Share the good news to the other household. Oh, I'm safe. This scarlet cord, it is for me and my God. I don't care about others. No. It is her responsibility. These two men are going to go back. And what is Rahab's responsibility? Rahab's responsibility is to gather to herself into the house. Bring them into the house. Come. There's going to be a judgment that is going to happen. Oh, my dear, maybe you are the only one who are born again in your family. Time has come for you to include your family members. Start with your family members. Tell them, yes, I want you to come into the house. This cord that is being put forth, unless and until you are in the house, that's what it says here. Bring verse 19. It shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. If you are in the house where the scarlet cord is, you are protected. Similar story has happened in the book of Genesis. Noah's story. Get into the ark. Those who are in the ark will be saved. Those who are outside the ark will be perished. Not only Rahab was concerned about herself, but now she was given the responsibility to share this good news, or the gospel in other words. Share it with others. Tell others also. This salvation of God is not only for me, for you also. Get into the house. Don't be outside in the world. Get into the house of salvation. That was her responsibility. Rahab's life is a wonderful life to meditate upon, my dear. And that was what was told. And then we notice, they depart. Verse 21. She said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away and they departed. And it didn't stop there. Notice this carefully, my dear. Let's all read the last phrase in verse 21 all together, please. She tied the scarlet cord in the window. She did it. She just didn't say, this scarlet cord, in what way it will help me? No. She tied it by faith, in hope of being saved. When the judgment comes, God is going to deliver me forever. And that is what has happened. And let us see, verse 23. Then the two men returned and came down from the hill country and crossed over, came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they related to him all that had happened to them. They came back to Jehovah Saves and expressed, told, wow, you sent us on a mission. We went. We were like messengers. We went to a sinner's house and she was able to express her faith. And we gave her a scarlet cord and told her to put it. They told everything to Jehovah Saves. And then in verse 24, they said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land. Write it down. On return, the spies returned with surety of victory. Surety everywhere. I'm sure. We sang the song. Jesus is my firm foundation. I'm sure of it. Surety, assurance is essential in every step of our lives. They clearly said in verse 24, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. This land that is promised is filled with sin. Now Joshua has to come and to make a judgment on this land that was originally promised. He needs to come back and create a new land, or new earth, in other words. He's coming back. He's coming. He went once. He spied the land. And now he's coming back, crossing the Jordan and entering into the promised land, which is filled with sin, with whoring, harlotry, and different kinds of sinful nature that was going on. They came back and spoke to Joshua. Oh, my dear. Note down the meaning of the word Jesus. Meaning of the word Jesus. Jehovah Saves. Jesus or Jesus is a Greek word which means Jehovah Saves. The Hebrew word Joshua means Jehovah Saves. This is a shadow of the things that were going to happen when Jesus comes. When Jesus came the first time, when Jesus comes the second time as a judge. Jesus sent his messengers to proclaim the salvation of God. Those messengers went, risked their lives to the extent of being able to be a witnesses of the salvation of God. And this Rahab was able to experience that. And she expressed it out. And she tied the scarlet cord. If we fast forward a little to the book of Joshua chapter 6. That is when Joshua was going to enter into the land of Jericho. As a judge, as a one who is going to come and destroy the sin and the sinful nature that was happening in the land, the promised land, in order to be able to renew that place to be a land for God's people to dwell there. And we notice here that Jericho was tightly shut. They were tightly protecting themselves. Oh, who is coming? Let us be in our own sinful nature and try to cover up ourselves. Let us not allow anyone to come in. That is how they were hoping. But there is one, when he comes, even the walls will be broken down. Everything will be uncovered in the presence of that Jehovah Saves. And here we notice, when they get in, they go through the wall 6 days. On the seventh day, they go around 7 times, giving time and again. Come on, what are you doing? Are there more people in that house? Giving more time, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. He's a very patient Joshua. He went around because God gave that, told to do that. He did that all over again on the seventh day, 7 times again. Towards the end, he was giving time. And then finally, they rise up early in the morning. And then they blew the trumpets. When the trumpet calls, the walls of Jerusalem, walls of Jericho break down. And that is the judgment. And when that judgment happens, Verse 22. Notice this carefully. Joshua 6:22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land. He remembered. Joshua remembered the messengers who were faithful in bringing back the news. The messengers who were sent out. Joshua never forgot those people. God never forgets his people whom he sends on a mission. Out of so many people who was leading, Joshua caught hold of those two people and said to those men who had spent, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of. She was still called the harlot's house, just like God of Jacob. Though he's called Israel, sometimes to remind of his nature before, Rahab is always tied to being with her profession as such. And then, what does it say? Get into the harlot's house, bring the woman and all that she has out of there, and you have sworn to her. So the young men, notice this, verse 23. The young men who were spies, young men, my dear, young people, don't think that there is enough time for us. They were young people who were sent on a mission. The young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all she has had. She was able to share the good news with her family members who stayed with her in the house. They must have said, oh, what a big deal. Nothing is going to happen, just like Noah's story. But it happened. They might have thought, oh, these walls of Jerusalem are so strong. No way will somebody come and attack us. Just like, oh, it never floods during Noah's time. Similarly, oh, Jesus, he'll never come. When did he? Where is he? He never came. Lot of people in today's world are still saying that Jesus, when will he come? Who cares? Let us live our life. Verse 24, they burned the city with fire, the judgment of God. And all that was in it, only the silver and the gold and the bronze and everything. Verse 25, however, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared, and she has lived in the midst of the Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. If you have an English Standard Version, could you please read it aloud? Verse 25, Joshua 6:25. Joshua saved alive. I love this small phrase. Note it down in your sermon notes. Joshua saved alive. Joshua saved alive. The one who promised, the Jehovah saves, his salvation is to keep alive. Joshua saved alive. Joshua 6:25. And then after that, what does it say? Brother, continue. And she lived in Israel. She lived among the people of God. A heathen woman. She lived and lived with the other people of God. Yes, brother, continue. To be able to relate to Joshua chapter 2. This woman, Rahab, is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In verse 5, it says, Salmon was the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Salmon, maybe one of the Israelites in the line of Judah. Once they occupied the promised land, Rahab was there. Salmon married Rahab. And through that, Boaz was born. Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse. Jesse, the father of David, in the lineage of Jesus. Rahab was included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful experience that is. Hebrews chapter 11. We were referring to that chapter earlier during the worship time. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 31. Please read English Standard Version, anyone? By faith, Rahab, she did not perish with those who were disobedient. In some translations it uses the word who did not believe. Who did not believe. And then after she had received the spice and peace, she believed, she received. She received the message of God. In other words, the messengers who spoke about the God, I'm sure they must have discussed a lot when she started the conversation. She believed by faith. By faith. And then in James as well, it talks about her in terms of the fact. James chapter 2 and verse 25. Now, Hebrews talks about her faith, and James talks about her faith in action. What a wonderful way in which Rahab's life changed. Oh, my dear, these spies were sent, only two people were sent ahead of time. Before everyone had to cross the Jordan River, two people were sent. Why? For the sake of that one sinner. For the sake of that one sinner. To save the sinner, these people were sent on a mission. And then we were able to see the mission accomplished. Jesus, write down, Jesus saves us to give eternal life. Joshua saved Rahab and her household, and she lived with the people. She didn't die. She did not perish. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, or Jehovah saves, or Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He wanted to save people. He gave enough opportunity and also gave the responsibility of Rahab to involve her family members and others also whom she knows to be part of that house. Oh, my dear. What a wonderful experience of salvation this is. This Jordan crossing was for Rahab. This specific Jordan crossing story was for the salvation of Rahab, or in other words, the salvation of sinners like you and I. We are all born in sin. We are in a place like Jericho. The land which God has created for his pleasure, the earth which is the Lord's, is filled with sin now. God is sending messengers in order to be able to proclaim the gospel so that you will be saved. If you are saved, put a scarlet cord outside, tell it out. And let others also, your own family members, let them come into the house. You don't want your family members to perish, do you? Joshua is coming. Or in other words, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you preparing yourself? The preparation time? Be ready for the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless this portion and enable us to remember that scarlet cord which represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. It is a representation of it. And this ordinance that we have, the bread and the cup symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ. To tell it out, not only through baptism one time, but week after week, to be able to tell that I want to be able to have that hope that Christ is going to keep me alive forever in eternity in his presence when he comes back. May the Lord bless this word.